Hello, and welcome to episode 6 of Black Girl Squee. I am Dee Dee, also known as Dust Daughter on Twitter.
And I am Enda, also known as Enda's Corner on Twitter.
And we're basically here to squee about black girls and maybe have a rant or two and introduce a new segment this week. And so, Lord, let us know whether or not you like the new segment by emailing us at blackgirlsquee@gmail.com or tweeting us at blackgirlsquee or twitter.com/blackgirlsquee. You can also leave us a review on iTunes. We're still patiently waiting for our first review. But if you search for Black Girl Squee on iTunes, you can find us there and rate and review the show. And leave us a comment as to whether you like our segments and stuff. So just a little quick housekeeping before we get into our news. Once again, we want to remind you that our spoiler policy is that we spoil shit. We will try to, give out a brief spoiler warning before, but just know that if we're talking about a show, a book, or just a piece of art, then we're probably going to spoil something.
Yes.
So you have been warned.
Yeah.
And now we're going to get into some of the feedback that we got off Twitter. Most of our feedback this week comes from K Rage and SF,
yeah.
On Twitter. They say, podcast time to listen away the depression monster spiral. Thank you, Black Girl Squee, Yellow Peril, Magical Negro, and Nerdgasm Noir. They also tweet to Fire in Freetown. If you don't mind podcasts, the women of Nerdgasm Noir and Black Girl Squee have amazing recs and authors. I suppose I was answering a question about book recommendations.
Yeah.
They continue to say, the books in their show notes are in my fun reading, and I get to hear them talk about it. So thank you so much for the recommendation and the comments, K-Rage and SF. And we hope you'll continue to listen and enjoy the show.
So for our feedback, you just have to give us a squee!
Squee!
Thank you for talking to us.
So now on to our squee-worthy news. First up, we want to talk about the music that you heard in our intro. The song is called Hell Y'all Ain't Talking About by Ida Elizabeth Cleveland. She's responding to the Wonderland track Hell Y'all Talking About that featured the names of several cis black men and women who have been murdered due to state sanctioned violence. However, the names of all of the black trans lives that have fallen during this same time as this movement has risen were not included, and they aren't included in most hashtags or reports about black lives lost. So she wrote this song that talks about all the trans lives that have been erased from the movement, and basically says it's all of us or none of us, flat out.
Right.
And says that we're laboring and working for the movement, and yet you can't even acknowledge our struggle and our pain within this movement, and that's not cool at all.
Yeah, and I also wanted to read a statement she made, you know, about, you know, the track. This is from a Color Lines article. She says, "This track is in response to the initial recording of Hell You Talkin' About by Janelle Monáe. The track, albeit powerful, once again proved to the world that even within the minds and spirits of black people, our black trans siblings are left behind, even in death. This track is a call to those that have forgotten us, as well as a chance to lift my fallen black trans symbols, who should have been lifted up in the first place."
Amen. Well said.
Yep.
So, go ahead.
Definitely, if you want, you can go find that track on SoundCloud, too. Hell, y'all ain't talking about this. Vita Elizabeth Cleveland, and she is a musician out of Cleveland. Musician and an activist. So definitely show her some support and thank her for that track.
Yeah, it's a powerful track. Thank you for speaking up about that. And for that, we give Ida Elizabeth Cleveland a squeeze! So our next bit of news involves the Netflix show about Luke Cage that's coming up, and the fact that they've actually cast not one, not two, but three whole black women. There's actually going to be, you know, more than one black woman in the Marvel Cinematic Universe now. Which is, you know.
And I'm like, on the same show?
Yeah. I mean, hey, I'll take it where I can get it. I mean, it's not like we're going to get it
in
the Avengers.
No, I'm glad they're all in the same show.
Oh, okay.
Like, we might see black women interacting with each other on the same show.
Wow.
I know, right?
Wow, so people might actually, you know, it's just a chance for, you know, because usually in the Marvel Universe, black means black male.
Yeah.
And male means white guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
To actually have someone who is black and woman, and have more than one of them, actually, you know, living, working, being human, all this good stuff. It's exciting.
It's very.
And also, we get to see Misty Knight enter the universe. Finally,
yes.
A black female superhero.
Yes.
This will be the actual first one in this universe.
Yeah, well, it's like I'm actually excited for Luke Cage now.
Well, how you weren't already? That dude is fine.
Well, yeah, he is. But, you know, it's like still, I'm kind of just more. Thing is, though, when I see, you know, a black girl or black woman, I'm just a bit more, you know, willing to be receptive to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do support black men and all that, but it's like I'm not really familiar with Luke Cage in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thing is, I wasn't really familiar with a lot of them in the first place either, because I didn't have that much access to comics coming up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, you know, I always look for the black girl. That's just how I am, because I mean. You get so used to like not seeing yourself, especially, you know, not with a story centered around you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just kind of it just gets to be disappointing to see, okay, well, still not here. And so when I finally see, okay, oh, we're here, you know, I perk up.
Yeah.
And so now I'm like, there are three of us in this one.
Yes.
Three.
And finally, we get Misty Knight. We've been waiting. Some of us have been waiting to see if Misty Knight would be cast in any of these. We were hoping, you know, we definitely were hoping to see her in the Iron Fist TV show, but since she's going to be, looks like she's going to be introduced in Luke Cage, and we will probably end up seeing her in Iron Fist as well. I mean, knock on wood.
Yeah, I'll take that.
So, because it looks like they introduce the characters from other TV shows from future Marvel series in other Marvel series. So I know Luke Cage is going to be introduced in Jessica Jones, and then he's going to move into his own show. So who knows? But Misty Knight will be played by Simone Missick, and looks like Alfre Woodard is going to be playing a character called Black Mariah.
Ooh.
Who is a villain for Luke Cage, as well as Iron Fist, so she might end up being in both shows. She's tingling. She's getting tingly. She's getting tingly. Your anti-hero fangirlishness is perking up, I see.
Yeah, definitely.
In the comics, Black Mariah is a professional criminal and a drug dealer.
Ooh.
Lord. So, but if anybody can, you know, knock it out of the park, it's Alfre Woodard.
Oh my god, I love Hater already.
And of course we have Rosario Dawson, who will reprise her role as Claire Temple in Luke Cage.
Yeah.
So, 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
There are three of us.
This gonna be good. This gonna be good.
It's gonna be so good.
Yes.
My God.
So, looks like we'll get, I think we're gonna get second season of Daredevil.
Yeah.
Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, then Iron Fist. I still haven't heard anything about who's gonna be cast for Iron Fist, so I'm still not sure whether we'll get a white Iron Fist or an Asian Iron Fist. I'm hoping for the latter, but, you know, it's Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's that news. So, I think, was it last week or a couple of weeks ago that Mickey Kendall's issue of Storm of Swords debuted? I think it was two weeks ago, right?
Last week.
Oh, really?
It might have been like, well, I know she was doing like signings and things for that last week.
Mm-hmm.
So it might have been 2 weeks ago. But yeah, she had events for it last week. Yeah.
So, Mickey Kendall is known online as Carnithia. She's a writer and an activist, and her first comic book issue ever has been published. With Storm of Swords. She worked with Gail Simone, who's known for writing Batgirl, Wonder Woman, Birds of Prey, a whole bunch of great comics.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just part of her effort to get more women in comics, and hopefully this will open the door to more women of color writing comics.
Yes.
So, congratulations to Mickey. We hope more comic book writing is in your future. And check out Storm of Swords at your comic book store or online at Comixology or wherever you want to pick it up. And I'll let you do this one because this is your girl, Linda.
Okay, so just a couple of weeks ago, we got a new track from Kalayla. It is called Rewind. And she's about to drop her new album. I think it's supposed to be next month in October, but I haven't found a date to confirm that. But she, October 9th. Yeah, so we got a month.
Hey.
And so Rewind is the lead single off of it. It was produced by Nugget and Kalayla. And it just has this really, really nice groove. You know, this is because, you know, she's really good in electronic and I do Pitter and Afro Futurism, but it just has this really, you know, a nice music track that goes very well with her voice, that's kind of airy and breathy. If you haven't listened to it yet, definitely, you know, look it up and check it out, and be waiting for her new album, because yeah, she did a really good job with Cut for Me a couple years ago, and I've been waiting for her to, you know, release something else since then. Finally got it.
Yeah. Well, that, I don't know, that beat makes me want to like pop lock and stuff like that, and I don't really know how to pop lock, but
yeah,
it kind of reminds me of some, you know, booty tracks coming up. That I heard when I was coming up, boom, 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 boom.
Yeah,
boom,
she
boom,
said
boom,
it was
boom.
This one has more of a pop, has more of a pop appeal, you know, mm-hmm. to it. You know, it's not as, you know, underground, I guess would be the word, as, you know, Cut for Me, but it's still, it's really good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, you go and do, you know, something that's going to be a bit more popular, or, you know, a bit more mainstream, it doesn't mean it's going to be automatically bad. She's actually a really good, you know, she's actually a really good, you know, musician, and, you know, does really good work. I do like this track, and I'm, like I said, I'm looking forward to the rest of the album.
Yes!
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom. I was, yeah. Okay. So, that beat, once you get into it, you want to pop something to it. Boom, boom.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, to Kalila, we say squee! Woo!
Okay. Yeah, I definitely want you to do the next one.
Yeah, I have to. This is another one of my contralto babies that I love. I don't know if you know this about me. I love me some contraltos. Last episode I talked about Layla Hathaway and her new live album that's coming out. And then my baby Liz Wright released her album Freedom and Surrender last week, and it is lovely. It is her voice is everything. It is rich and warm. It's like dark chocolate fudge. I don't know. It's just yummy. She has a duet on there with Gregory Porter, and it's just every bit as amazeballs as you would imagine with those two luscious voices coming together. It's just, it's basically a lot of mid-tempo kind of acoustic folksy stuff, and then some slower jazz ballads. A really great album to kind of chill to and zone out to. I made the mistake of listening to it while I was driving and missed several exits, but it's that kind of album. Don't listen to it while you're driving, but every other time you can listen to it. So that's Liz Wright, Freedom and Surrender. Definitely check it out. It's beautiful, and I'm so glad that Liz Wright is back.
Yes.
All of my contralto babies are coming out. Cassandra Wilson came out with a album last year, celebrating Billie Holiday. Now Layla and Liz, and whew, I love it. So Liz Wright, we give you a squeeze.
And also, by the way, if you don't have any of her other albums, shame on you.
Get
but,
Salt.
You know, check those out as well. Yes, Salt, definitely.
The Orchard.
Yeah, The Orchard. The one before that was the folk one. I wish I had it right in front of me right now. But anyway, there are like four other ones before that. I know Fellowship is one.
Yeah, that was the gospel-y one.
Yeah. The second one was the folk one. I can't think of the name of it.
It's the one that had hit the ground on it. It's the one that had hit the ground on it.
Dreaming Wide Awake.
Thank you.
Dreaming Wide Awake.
Thank you.
Yeah. So get all four of those and then pick up Freedom and Surrender. You need it in your life. You need her voice in your life.
Just luxuriate in all that deep fudge deliciousness.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That voice is something else. It knocked me out the first time I heard it, and it's just been one of my favorites ever since then. I mean, like I said on my show, the other show, one time, I actually picked up her album, the first album, because she has such a cute face. Mm. And I'm like, I listened to it, and I'm like, whoa.
If you see her live, you'll just be amazed at how that big old voice comes out of this tiny,
yes,
teeny, tiny person.
Yes.
It's amazing.
No. Yeah.
Liz Wright, Freedom and Surrender. Get that shit.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I'm gonna say about it.
Yeah. And speaking of new releases, Black Girl Dangerous, who has a great website and blog, has released a new podcast on SoundCloud. They're two episodes in now. The latest episode features a interview with Genesette Rodriguez, who was known as the White House heckler, I believe. The person that interrupted President Obama to take a stand on trans immigrants in detention.
So that's pretty major. So
especially for your second episode. So
yeah,
definitely check out that a podcast on SoundCloud. It's just, you just search under Black Girl Dangerous and you'll find it.
Yeah, you have to say Mia has been doing some really great work elevating the voices of queer and trans people of color for some time now. I am so glad she finally got into podcasting. And also, definitely check out her guest co-host for the first two episodes. Her name is, I hope I pronounced it right, Shadi Devereaux. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry if I mispronounced your name, honey. I'm so sorry. But they are so awesome together. And plus, Shadi did this really, really good breakdown of Beyonce's cultural relevance in this past episode.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, I'm kind of with Mia. I'm not a Beyonce fan, but I understand why, she's important as a cultural icon of our time. And Shadi just did such a great job explaining why that is. And I'm like, yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and
yeah,
for two people that say that they're old and they don't listen to the young people's music, you know,
yeah,
they have a lot of good things to say about pop culture.
Yeah,
and also, you know, yeah, also, you know, people like Nicki Minaj and Beyonce, they're around our age, you know.
Yeah.
So to say that they're not really young people's music, they're contemporaries.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I'm like only 2 years older than Beyonce, so I mean,
I'm not gonna say how much older I am, but that's beside the point. That don't matter. We all in the same game. We in the same age range for a while.
Exactly.
I'm about to be moving on up out of y'all's demographic in a minute, but that's okay.
It depends on what the demographic is for, because it's like I'm like on the edge of some,
mm-hmm.
but it's like I think by next birthday or two, I'm kind of like in the middle of one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like for like TV markets and things like that, and for like the surveys I take for whatever I've taken a survey for. So it really depends on, you know, what the demographic is for, which one you're in. So I'm pretty sure you and I are still in the same demographic and will be for a while.
Okay.
Oh, seriously, we are.
But to Mia and Shadi, we give a big squeeze.
Go listen to that podcast after this one.
Yes. After. You got time. All right. So we got a lot of news. Speaking of podcasts, definitely check out two podcasts, episodes that feature interviews with author N.K. Jemisin. to celebrate the release of her latest book, The Fifth Season. She guested on Midnight in Karachi, which is a tour podcast that you can find on their feed, and Geek's Guide to the Galaxy. And she talks about her latest book and also her journey in sci-fi and fantasy. The Midnight in Karachi one is a little bit spoilery, so you may want to finish reading the book before you listen to that one. But it's a great discussion, either way. If you don't care about spoilers, it's a great discussion, so I would recommend it. There's also another online interview with Electric Literature, and I'll link to that in the show notes. So to N.K. Jemisin, we give a big squeeze. Yeah, I can't wait to get my hands on that on the fifth season.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna get that at the end of the month because I have to catch up on a few things, and that's definitely top of the list.
Yeah, I'm still trying to finish the Dreamblood series, the duology or whatever you call it.
I haven't gotten that one yet. See, I only recently just read the Inheritance trilogy, and it's like I'm reading that, and I'm like, why can't I write like you?
Yeah.
Like, why can't I build a world like you?
I wish I was just reading it for the first time now.
Really?
It's such good stuff. Okay.
I actually wish I'd read it when it first came out. Mm. Yeah. So I'm like, I just wish I'd have known it existed then. Really. Like, a lot of the things that I catch up on and I get to read, I'm like, why didn't I know about this, like 5-6 years ago when it first came out?
Yeah.
No, that's why I'm really excited that, we have, Twitter and things like that, because now I know Mickey Kendall just released a comic, and I can go get that comic and start from the beginning and, keep up with it, mm-hmm. and things like that. I'm like, and, writers, like N.K. Jemisin, Sophia Samatar, Niecy Shaw, I know who they are now, and I can catch up. I don't have to, go, so far back into their backlog to catch up with them, and because they are some really, really great writers. We have some really great Black women creators, mm-hmm. In publishing right now, and I'm just so grateful that I know who they are these days.
It's like what Rebecca Weatherspoon was saying on Twitter the other day, that there are books out there, written by women of color, about women of color. They're not being distributed. The message is not getting out to the people that need those books. But hopefully now, with social media and things like that, self-publishers can at least get their message out to audiences. Even if the big publishing houses don't really want much to do with diverse books, unfortunately. But so now we have a better chance of finding, people of color writing POC in sci-fi and fantasy and other genres. Speaking of diversity, there's the Hollywood Diversity Report. Pretty much tells us the same thing that it says every year. There's not a lot of roles for women of color in front of or behind the scenes. And it's like year after year they report these same findings, but nothing's really being done about it. We get a handful.
Exactly.
We get a handful of roles for Black women last year, but it's a drop in the bucket compared to the overall landscape.
Yeah. It's like every time I see one of these things, it's like I'm just sitting here like, okay, so no shit. Now what are you going to do about it?
Exactly. And the answer is not much. Yeah. I guess they expect us to be happy with our empire and our How to Get Away with Murder and our Sleepy Hollow season 3 and shut the hell up, I guess. We ain't gonna forget how you canceled Cristela out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of only two shows that year that featured Latinos.
Yeah, because I'm like, the only other one we had was Jane the Virgin, and mm-hmm. Cristela is like, I didn't even really know that show was on until it was like almost over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we need Asian people of color need more than just Fresh Off the Boat.
Yeah.
You can't just give people one and expect to for them to feel fully represented.
Yeah, because I mean, I saw something on Angry Asian Man blog. It was a like there are only like about 21 Asian people who are like in prominent roles in shows this upcoming season. But I'm like, I don't know if any of them are like leads. You know, I think they might all be in like supporting roles, and then a couple of the shows, you know, look kind of iffy. So, I mean, that's just not a good look.
Yeah, they canceled Selfie with John Cho in the lead. Fine ass John Cho in the lead.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping they just bring him back to Sleepy Hollow anyway.
I wish that, but that would be too much light, right? And
yeah, it would.
They ain't about that life over there, Fox.
Nah, you may not. But I'm like, look, y'all had any sense at all, just put John Cho back in that uniform and put him back on Sleepy Hollow. I mean, we won't shut up, but, you know, it will still be happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
so.
Have him pining over Abby. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, that's essential.
And, yeah. And then, but if, you know, if they had any sense, they'd also bring back Almost Human. But you know what? I'm
girl.
Sleep. I'm sleep.
Girl. Girl.
I'm sleep.
Girl.
Moving
on. I'm still mad. We are all still mad about Almost Human. Such a good show.
Oh man. Yeah. Okay. Whatever. Yeah. Fuck okay. Fox. Anyway.
Yeah.
So. I don't know if that gets a squee, but the next thing definitely gets a squee.
Yeah.
Shondaland is all over the papers. They just did a huge spread for Essence.
Yes.
And they did a huge one where all of the casts of all the Shonda shows combined. Crammed into one photo, and let me that wasn't for Essence, that was for Entertainment
Entertainment Weekly.
So they got together the casts of Grey's Anatomy, Scandal, and How to Get Away with Murder for this huge photo for Entertainment Weekly. And they had Shonda's leads, Kerry Washington, Viola Davis, and Ellen Pompeo, on the cover with Shonda Rhimes, who has been in the gym lately because she's looking very svelte, if I say so myself. Shows. I mean, if you look at that picture, you will be amazed at all of these people she's got working.
Yes.
And especially all of the people of color that she has.
Yes.
On the payroll.
Yes.
So she has people of color. She has queer people on the payroll. Because the creator, executive producer of How to Get Away with Murder is queer. All these different groups of people represented under the umbrella of Shondaland, and it's just a testament to her power in the industry, and also think of the lack of diversity there would be without her. She pretty much comprises most of the diversity on television.
Yes. Yeah.
Without her, there's Empire, there's Black-ish, There's Sleepy Hollow, Jane the Virgin.
Well, but, is that it?
I guess, you know, Fresh Off the Boat.
Oh, yeah. Is that still...
Did yeah, that's still on. I think so. You know, series, you know, sitcoms like that. But so much of the diversity in Hollywood can be attributed to Shonda Rhimes alone.
Yeah, and it's like one of the only areas that's like not comedy, because I mean, we also just got like the Carmichael Show and Mr. Robinson is coming too, but those are comedies.
Right.
So we didn't really get those nighttime, you know, dramas, you know, not even like the soap operas and things like that until, you know, like the past couple of years.
Right.
Yeah.
So definitely check out that Entertainment Weekly. If just for the photo, because it's just amazing to see.
Yeah, I just also wanted to say, if you get Essence or you subscribe to it, the black cast members of her show, they did 6 different covers for Essence. So everybody's talking about which one they hope they get because they subscribe to it. But I'm like, you know, may just have to go to a newsstand if you, you know, the type you collect. Just go get all 6 covers, you know.
I mean, just Viola got a cover.
Yes.
Carrie got a cover. Chandra Wilson got a cover. Praise Jesus. People forget about her. They sleep on her. I wish Chandra would give her a show because she's amazing.
Alfie, Michaela, Aja King, and the one who plays Nat, or Nate, is his name Nate or Nat?
Nate. Billy Brown.
Yeah, they have a cover.
Detective Strongback.
Yes.
Jesus, Lord Jesus.
That man fine. Okay.
Lord.
Yeah. So, I mean, the thing is, though, even when you look at the Entertainment Weekly cover, it still just does not cover, you know, the expanse of the diversity that she has on that show, because I know definitely with How to Get Away with Murder, Conrad Rickamora, you know, who plays Oliver, you know, gay Asian queer character, I mean, that, and plus, you know, she had the woman who played Ava on Living Single in an episode, Karen Molina White is in an episode, I mean, the visible diversity you see in that show is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The only other show I can kind of think of is on par with that is Elementary.
Sure.
That is the only other show I can even think of that has that much. Oh my God, I just spotted Jesse Williams. I'm sorry.
That's the other cover. They had Viola, Carrie, Chandra had their individual covers. Then Alfie, Asia Naomi King, and Billy Brown were on one cover together. And then for Grey's Anatomy, you had Jerrica and, oh my gosh, you had, I'm sorry, I'm going to forget everybody's names. There's just so many people, but you had the some of the black characters from Jerrica Hinton, somebody, his name is Pickens, the man that plays the former chief on Grey's Anatomy, and
it's not James Pickens.
Yes, it is.
Is it James?
Yes,
from X-Files. Oh yeah, sure is.
So Jesse wasn't on Essence.
Was he?
No.
He wasn't. Shoot. Well, I don't think I've seen all 6 covers, though, but... I don't see why
I don't think he was
be.
On the Grey's cover, but, you know, maybe he's too bright. But,
I'm sorry.
Sorry,
because we love you. We love you.
I'm sorry. But, yeah, so, you know, there's still other black folks they probably could have had on the cover. They just, Shonda has too many. She has them all on lock. So.
Yep.
So to them, we give a huge squeeze. Oh, and we have to single out We have to talk about the fact that Viola Davis ships Anna and Wes. I know that's near and dear to somebody's heart on this show.
I feel so validated. Because face it, look, I don't know what if y'all been seeing it all the whole season, but ever since that first episode, if Annalise and Wes weren't just kind of like, weren't was there.
Sorry, say that again. You kind of came in and out.
I said from that first episode with Wes and Annalise, the electricity was there. I mean, look, she was all over that boy. And it's like, look, she was just a bit way too open with him anyway. Like, I mean, she already knows that he knows. You know, she's married. And it's like, oh, what, that guy's like, well, yeah, he's my boyfriend. Yeah, what? Mm-hmm. You know?
Meanwhile, she was rubbing all on his chest.
Yes. Girl.
That ain't maternal, y'all. Calm down with this maternal secret son bullshit. Man,
no,
if y'all don't
please.
Get the fuck.
Like I said, it would be so inappropriate. It's so unethical, and they already messy as hell anyway. They just may as well let it get messier.
She would break him.
Yes.
And he would say thank you.
Yes. And I would still be here for it.
Just Enda will be on the couch with a popcorn, eating it all up.
I will be on the couch with popcorn, wine, a stronger drink if I need it.
Look,
look yo. Let Viola work this little boy.
It's her show.
Yes.
She had input on things that happened last year.
Oh yeah.
So I'm thinking, you know, if she makes a suggestion, it might could happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like we're all not tuning in for her anyways, but you know,
it's her show. So as long as I get Cicely Tyson to come back.
Yeah.
Cuz that episode was just, I feel like my soul ascended. It was so it was so black.
Yes, oh girl.
That was one of the blackest episodes of television ever made.
Yes. From start to finish.
Lord. She greased a scalp. She greased a scalp on national television, Lord.
But yo, wait a minute. Yo, when she came in and the students were there, and she just tells them to all go off and do whatever she told them to do. Yes, ma'am. Every last one of them, yes, ma'am. And they scattered off.
Oh, Lord.
She say, y'all.
Oh, goodness. Somebody, I need some media analyst to break down that episode. Just break down all the blackness in it and just,
Yeah.
Because I feel like a dissertation could come from that episode alone. It was just so much.
Yeah.
It was so rich.
Yeah. We could probably do a special show right before, you know, the, it starts, and you know, we just break down how black ass black that show was.
And we gotta talk about that bathroom scene from one of the earlier episodes, cause I feel like there was just so much in my spirit about that bathroom scene. Remember when
she was in the stall and those, you know, white women are talking about her.
Lord Jesus.
And she walks out and they are so fucking scared.
Girl, you know what that was? It was almost like precognitive or prescient. That was Nikki and Miley, girl.
Sure was. It sure was. Oh, damn.
That just hit me.
Yeah, we definitely gonna have to go back and talk about how to get murdered for just a whole show.
That, whoo. And it's coming back next month, so we gotta, we gotta
just
do that soon.
Just marathon it, and then we'll talk.
Whew, okay. Yeah, I need to know who wrote that scene, and I need to know who wrote that Cicely episode, because I need to shake their hand and do whatever, you know, bow down, we are not worthy, because that was, that was some deep stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so we squeed, and now we gotta, I got all off tangent.
We both did.
All right, Inda, this one's all you.
All right, so just this past last week, I believe it was, Brittany Howard dropped a surprise album with her side project called Thunder Bitch.
Hey.
Yeah. So if you first of all, if you don't know who Brittany Howard is, she's the front woman of the Alabama Shakes, and don't let me find out who you are because I will come and shake you for not knowing who Brittany Howard is. But yeah, Thunder Bitch is, this album is really good. I actually really love it. It's kind of this rockabilly, you know, feel. If you remember, it's a 1950s sound, but it also came back in the 80s with the Stray Cats, that type of stuff. And yeah, I did just show my age. I don't care. But this really interesting promo video came out for it. Everybody's like in white face and, you know, wearing these rock and roll clothes from like the 50s, and just kind of has this really goth, you know, weird goth feel to it. But I actually did feature a track of it on the past show, and it's
I'm just really glad, you know, see black women, you know, taking, you know, reclaiming this roots rock and this, you know, early, you know, rock and roll sound, you know. So she's doing it, another singer called Nikki Hill is doing it, and it's really, you know, like I said, it's just really interesting, you know, that we're finally, you know, getting these, you know, black women, you know, on this role. And of course, Brittany Howard is a guitarist too, and she, her sound is perfect for this. So, you know, definitely, you know, go to Thunder Bitch's site and you can download it. I think it's available on iTunes. So, like I said, Thunder Bitch, rock and roll, the end.
And the website is Thunder Bitch, which is thundabetch.com/listen.
Yeah, yeah. So, don't know why I spelled like that. So
me either. Maybe maybe somebody else took the correct spelling. So.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, so for Brittany Howard and Thunder Bitch, we have to give a big squeeze. Okay.
So, I was just thinking, you know, it's good that they reclaimed it, because, you know, there's certain biopics coming out where people are basically doing blues and calling it country, with no black people to be found. I'm not gonna say what that movie is, but y'all know. So it's good for us to get all back. Up in it, you know, so we're not erased from it, you know, no matter how some people may try.
Yeah.
We'll now move to, from our news. We don't have a main topic this week, so we're going to move on to Womanist Vocab and our other segments, including a new one. So, first off, Inda, hit us with this Womanist Vocab word.
Okay, our Womanist Vocab word today is tone police. To tone police means to derail an argument or discussion by insisting or suggesting that the argument would be more acceptable or palatable if expressed in a different, i.e. more pleasant, tone. This particular derailment tactic takes focus off the actual argument and places the emphasis on the feelings of a privileged person. Tone policing is also an attempt to separate marginalized peoples from their own valid feelings when expressing a grievance.
Ooh, and I see what you did there, because what you're describing is exactly what Miley Cyrus did to Nicki Minaj in her Billboard interview.
Yes, exactly.
Which leads right into our rant segment, which I like to call Catch the Fade, and who can catch it is that trick Miley, because she definitely tried to tone police Nikki, whose message and feelings were valid. And would you say tone policing is sort of a method of gaslighting, of trying to, or not?
I think it's related.
Okay.
It's definitely related.
But anyway, everybody's talked about it. It's been hashed over time and time again. But so a lot. I'm sure you're familiar with what Miley said about Nicki's Twitter manifesto on about the VMAs. For her to disregard the message in favor of scolding somebody about the way it was delivered is tone policing, like Inda described. And it's like she said, it's derailing the argument, which is valid and a discussion that needs to happen. In favor of saying that an oppressed person is being mean, it's a way of saying, you know, what you're saying is not worth listening to or thinking about because it wasn't presented in the right way. And that's what Miley did to Nicki, and Nicki called her on it, you know, on television in front of everybody live. You know, Miley was good. And she tried to backtrack and make excuses, and Nicki wasn't having it. And unfortunately, I guess they cut her mic, which is a shame because they didn't cut Kanye's, and they probably should have. So, righteous rant, cut the mic. Rambling rant, let it go for 13 damn minutes. Not seeing the sense in that. But
thing that just really, really gets me about that though is such a blatant display of misogynoir.
Mm-hmm.
You really don't want to hear black women talk about shit like this.
Mm-hmm.
You don't. I mean, let anybody else say what Nicki Minaj said, and people would be all over it, just like, oh, this is so, you know, this is revolutionary, this is genius, you know. And I'm like, she just said, why won't you listen to her when she said it? And then, of course, nobody is actually talking about what she actually said now. Everybody wants to make out like, oh, she's this mean, you know, black girl, you know, picking on, you know, it's innocent, you know, well, I'll say white woman, even though I think Miley is supposed to be agender, I don't know. But still, Miley is still coded as a woman, is still coded as female, and she still gets those types of protections of white womanhood. And so it's actually very important to remember, because, I mean, Miley called herself trying to, you know, get into something that had absolutely nothing to do with them. And here comes, and Nick, like you said, Nicki called that shit.
Yeah. And the thing was, at the VMAs, she was just getting started. For her to just say, okay, now back to this bitch that was saying, was talking about me in the press, Miley was good. She was just getting started.
Yes.
That was just the beginning. That was the tip of the iceberg when it came to the clapback. I wanted to hear the rest.
Yes.
And they robbed me of that.
Yeah.
And for Slate or Salon or whoever to call that a savage attack or whatever, when she was just getting started and her mic got cut off, come on.
This is exactly what I'm saying. It is exactly what I'm saying. Like, a savage attack? I'm like, what were you watching?
It didn't have the time to get savage.
It sure didn't.
Mm-mm. Unfortunately.
She thanked her pastor before that. You know?
That's when, like, you know. That's when you know the read is coming.
Yeah.
She had to get the Lord on her side before she gave this girl the business. I loved everything. I love everything about that.
Yeah. I mean, child, it's like Nicki Minaj. I'm not gonna lie. I barely know your music, but you just keep doing shit to make me want to like you. Cause I swear, it's like every other week. It's like, oh, Nicki Minaj did this. Bless her.
Yes.
Her and her existence.
Yes. So, Lord, and the memes and the artwork that came after this beginning of a read were just, oh gosh, they were all kind of, there was a picture of her, I think as, I don't know which figure from the Bible that, was, it wasn't Bathsheba, it was some other lady that held the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Except it was Nikki holding Miley's head on a platter with the words, oh my God, Miley, what's good, written at the bottom of the artwork. I was rolling. Oh my gosh. It's just
this, the meme. This is why you don't come for anybody if they didn't call for you.
And this is just this little bitty beginning of a rant just brought so much joy to the lives of so many black women. I have to give Nicki Minaj a squee for that. Squee!
Okay, so
squee!
Thank you, Nicki. Nicki, you just spoke all our minds that day.
For real.
You really did. Because I can't tell you how many of us, like, every day, either on Twitter, in real life, just really want to do that. We just want to.
Lord, we have to deal with this every day from people.
Yes.
And we just want to clap back, but we're not in a position of power to be able to.
Yes.
In some instances. And even if we were, Nikki was, and she's still getting, she knew she was going to deal with the repercussions. You could see that when she paused. She was thinking about this. But, you know, she went on and said it. She went on and continued anyway until they cut her mic. And, because I guess she'd had enough.
Yep.
And, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see the next awards show that does invite her or nominate her. And, you know, we'll see what happens with that. It should have been Nikki's night, but it ended up being Taylor's night. So, it just the erasure continues.
Yeah.
So, that was our Catch the Fade. Miley can catch all these fades. I'm so tired of her and the other one. And,
yep.
They can all go to white feminist hell.
Yeah.
And kiss my black ass while they're doing it. So.
Oh yeah. Oh, also in Catch the Fade, we didn't talk about it, but you know, Grace Jones has been releasing snippets of her book, and there's rumors of who she's talking about biting off her in this book.
Ooh.
Yeah, she calls her Doris in the book. But there's some talk that Doris, you know, maybe, you know, a certain pop star who has a kind of a wild style, Lady Gaga, name, that's who she may be talking about, and I really hope she is. So we can put her in Catch That Fade.
Yes. Okay. I'm with it. Ooh. Lord, let this book come out. When it coming out?
I don't know, but Mama Grace is, ooh.
She's spilling tea. I want to read it. Okay.
Ooh, yes.
All right. This going to be good.
This going to be real good.
That might have to be a new segment.
This going to be good.
This going to be good. We're going to talk about it, and this going to be good.
Yeah.
But we'll have to do that next time. But our new segment this week.
Yeah. Okay, this new segment this week does come with, well, maybe not a disclaimer, but a warning.
Not a spoiler warning, but an ain't shit warning.
Yeah.
We about to be ain't shit for about 5 to 10 minutes. So, to folks who have no interest in people with penises, just fast forward 5 or 10 minutes. People who have no interest in us not being shit for about 5 or 10 minutes, just go on a fast forward. Just skip to the end.
We may or may not provide you with a timestamp to tell you when you can safely turn off and then turn back on, because, yeah. Mm. Like I said, we kind of going to be ain't shit for a while, so.
Yeah, yeah, and it's our show, so just deal.
Exactly.
You will deal. You will deal. Our new segment is called This Week in Dat Print. And as we continue, hopefully you will understand why. We did, you know, like we gave a warning. I don't know exactly what the segment has to do with black girls squeeing, except the fact that sometimes the print...
We're black girls and we're squeeing.
About this print.
Yes.
Sometimes some of your favorite celebrity people with penises go out in the wild without their draws. Some people do it a lot. Some people don't know what draws are. Some of these people are also well fucking endowed. Which leads to the spotting of that print.
Yes.
And is the reason for this segment. One of the reasons we have to talk about is this lanky British motherfucker called Tom Middleton. Who does not know the meaning of briefs, no draws. He don't know what those are. He don't know how to use them. He don't want nothing to do with them. And that's all right.
No, that's perfectly fine. We're not complaining.
Yep. He obviously wants to show us what he's working with. Which befuddles me why he hasn't done full frontal, since he must want us to know.
Yeah, I mean, he obviously knows where his assets are, so, I mean, come
Lord
on now.
Jesus. It seems like every picture you see at a red carpet, at a screening, what have you, photo shoot, is there. That print is like, hey, what's up? How you doing?
Hey, y'all, hey.
What you doing? What your mama doing? I don't know. I don't know what it's saying, but it's there. And it wants to be seen.
Staring at us. It's just staring at us.
I just... It's... He...
What, it's
I've
like
lost
I,
my
it's,
words.
No, it's like our girl Mickey say, you know, it's the lighthouse. It's leading us all to the light.
Yes. That print is like a cock lighthouse, in the words of our friend Jack Burton says. Shout out to you, Mickey.
Yes.
A cock lighthouse providing a beacon in our time of darkness.
Yes.
Leading our eyes straight to that print. Lord Jesus. What is he doing? Why is he doing this to me? Why?
He is real life trolling us.
He's trolling us with his dick. What? I don't. Why? Why? How? What is this?
Look.
What's this got to do with his acting?
I don't know. I think it's like, maybe, okay, look, I'm going to show you this, and I'm just going to give you, like, maybe the possibility, you know, a hope that you will see more if you go see my films. But, you know, we hadn't quite got that yet, and so I'm like, he, you know, seems to be just kind of working his way, you know, up to that. You know?
I mean, I just, okay, so if he ever does that, Will that be it? Will that be like the zenith of his career? I hope not. He's not a porn star.
No, because I mean he's a good actor.
Yeah, he's not a porn star.
Yeah. No.
But them pants.
But it's like, yeah. But I mean, plenty of actors in mainstream Hollywood have gone full frontal, and you know what? They fared. They fared, you know, very well.
Okay. I mean, yeah. Everybody ain't able to
I'm
do that.
I'm thinking of my other time.
Oh, Mr. Hardy. Yes. You know, everybody ain't able to do that. You got to make sure.
You're breaking up.
Hello?
You're breaking up.
I said Everybody ain't able. You got to make sure that you're packing. And from these tight-ass pants.
Yeah.
And no draws.
Yeah.
There's something going on. There's a whole lot going on.
Yeah.
I just don't see how how pants that tight can lie. You can't lie on your dick when your pants are that tight. You can't.
It's like he just made a decision, like, I'm gonna, introduce a new, academic discipline, and somebody will have the foresight to name it cock science. Again, shout out to you, Mickey.
Yes, we love you.
It's like he just wanted to introduce. He's like, even if this whole acting thing fails, I'm going to make my contribution to society in whatever way I can. And he gave us cock science.
Yes, and the women of Tumblr are happy to conduct said science, and
yes,
they do it regularly because every fucking photo shoot, every set of pictures that comes out about this man, he's wearing tight ass pants with no draws, and that print is just out.
It's just staring at us.
It's why,
here I am.
Yes, it's why we got. It's why the segment is called This Week in Dat Print, because every week is something different, but the print stays the same. It's always there.
What was the photo shoot this week? It was
This week it was the Toronto International Film Festival.
Oh God.
Where he is promoting his movie I Saw the Light, which is a biopic for Hank Williams Sr., not Junior. And even in three-piece suits, man, it's there. Losing my words again.
But it's like, even, he's promoting us all, like, we're about to get, like, I think maybe a full, another 4 months of this, because he's also going to be promoting Crimson Peak.
Yes.
Which comes out next month. And then, when does High Rise come out?
Girl, who knows? We haven't even got a trailer for that.
Yeah,
I don't know what they're doing with that.
Yeah, he's been filming it, and we're seeing some stills. It's like set in the 70s, and there's going to be like swimming in it, and also it's like
swinging. Probably.
Yeah, yeah. So we're looking at this like we're about to get an eyeful.
As if we haven't already, but
yeah, but I'm like. Seems like we may even get, more detailed.
Lord Jesus.
Not that we, need it, but we're going to get more detailed prints,
Any more detail, and we're going to know whether or not he's cut.
But are we going to complain about that?
I am not. No. We'll just have more fodder for this segment. But before this week, there was a photo shoot in Soho in London where he's trying out a number of suits with tight-fitting trousers. Tight! Them pants so tight, I can see the future. In them pants.
You know what? It's also possible that maybe his pants just mirror, but like maybe he's just really that long that it just can't.
It can't be denied. It, no matter what the size of the pants are.
Yeah,
it's just,
I would tell him try to control yourself, but maybe he can't. Maybe it's just got a mind of its own.
I mean, it's bad enough that dude is packing straight heat. He don't have to wear his pants that tight though.
Yeah,
that just makes it worse. On top of not wearing no draws.
Oh man.
You know that song, Is There Any More Room for Me in Them Jeans? There ain't no room. There ain't no room. There ain't no room in them jeans, and them slacks, them shorts.
No jeans.
Basically, he about to bust the fuck out of them things, and I am not mad. Except that I am. See, it's fucking my head up.
Oh, man.
This print is fucking my head up, and I appreciate that.
You see that print in your sleep. You see that print in your sleep, though.
It's in my dreams. It's on my dreams.
It comes for you.
That sounds so bad.
I just realized what I meant.
I'm so glad I didn't do it this time. I didn't do it. It was not me this time. It's always me. It's usually
like I said, I know what I said. I know how what I meant. What I meant with it, but I also know how it sounded.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we already said we weren't gonna be shit, so.
No. And we are we're proving it true, but how can you wear that many suits? That many three-piece suits? That are still all way too tight in the goddamn crotch.
Let me tell you, he's probably got, you know, he's probably got framed photos.
He can't. There's no room for a sock or anything that would. There's no room for anything that would like enhance it, you know, artificially. So that's got to be all him. It ain't no room for nothing else that ain't. But anyway, the biggest mystery in the cock science field is whether the print is due to a large penis or large testicles, and that's the big debate that he needs to answer with full frontal.
Yes.
So there it is, Tom. Let us know.
yeah.
You caused us enough frustration. This is the least you can do.
Yeah, it's all for science. You know, we need to know this for scientific reasons. Because science is important.
Yes, and if I'm not going to experience it for myself, I just want to know.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, so I can stop staring at the print and wondering.
Yeah.
So it can stop haunting my dreams. Oh, gosh. And then even before all that, I mean, there was Comic-Con, and he's just wearing casual wear, and there it is, and I can't stand you, Tom Hiddleston.
Oh,
put
my
us
God.
Out of our misery, and yet, I love you.
And wasn't he at Comic-Con, and they were like, okay, are we going to
see? He was at Comic-Con and what? Sorry, I can't hear you.
Okay. Now?
Mm-mm.
Hello?
Mm-mm.
I have no idea what's
going
on.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, again?
A little bit. That's better.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm seeing, even at Comic-Con, I think he and Guillermo del Toro were actually teasing. Like, are we going to see,
Loki's pokey stick. Guillermo made it sound like the answer was yes. If you don't play me, Guillermo, don't play me.
See, I will find you too,
Guillermo, but not for the same reason.
Look at you.
You said don't tease me. I will come after you.
Okay. I guess we've exhausted the topic for this episode. He's just gonna show some. He's just gonna. Some new photos from the next stop on his press tour are gonna come out. We'll just have to have this discussion all over again. So,
yeah.
you know.
Be ready, fans of the show. Get your fast forward buttons ready, or just sit tight and listen to us not be shit for 5-10 minutes.
Yeah, because until he
You know, shows us otherwise, we're gonna have to speculate. And
We have to report it. We have to report it.
It's
our duty.
This is essential.
And it, and despite all the frustration, it still makes us squeak. And it's our show, so we'll do it. That's the only way it fits into Black Girl Squee, is that it makes these two black girls squee.
Yes, exactly.
Lord, what? But what if he ever found out what draws are and he wore them and that print still said, "What's up?" I would die. Okay.
No.
That's just too much. It might be too much. It may. Okay. What is our Black Girl Commandment this week? There could be so many. Maybe our Black Girl Commandment is, Miley, what's good?
That's it. That's the commandment.
From on high. Oh, from on high. The scrolls of Onika were passed down, and they read, Miley was good.
So that shall be our commandment.
Oh, so if you have any feedback for our show, you can tweet us at BlackGirlSquee, twitter.com/BlackGirlSquee, all one word. Or Gmail, which is blackgirlsquee@gmail.com. Or leave us a review on iTunes, and we'll have the link to our iTunes page in the show notes. We hope you enjoyed the show. On behalf of Enda and I, we hope that you find many ways to squee in your life. And we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bring the band in. Ain't no time to pray. I said ain't no time to waste. Y'all be acting like trans people don't be dying every day. But we don't show up in your songs. We just show up in your bags. And we don't get tagged in your statuses, but the status of bodies with tags. Fuck all these microaggressions. Fuck all this internalized depression. Y'all saying it's time for war? We ain't got no luxury for concessions. Speaking truth out of my mouth. Do y'all care what I'm talking about? Let me clear it up if you doubt. It's all of us and none of us. Flat out. What the hell y'all ain't talking about? We putting in work, y'all leaving us out. If you doubt, it's all of us and none of us. Flat out. Hell, what the hell y'all ain't talking about? Y'all using our bodies to silence our mouths? Hell, let me clear it up if you doubt, it's all of us and none of us. Flat out. Can you tell that I'm mad? Can you tell that it's bad? I'm like a disappointed dad from all the missed opportunities had.